So, Dr. Motzer, I actually wanted to go on to another case, your 63-year-old lady. Can you present her?
This is a 63-year-old female that had a history of childhood sarcoma who was treated successfully and cured of that disease, but she subsequently was found to have kidney cancer and underwent a nephrectomy in 2001. She had an indolent course and remained free of disease for about 7 years when she progressed in the abdomen. And it was in the area of the pancreas. She had multiple pancreatic metastases, which we see with these kind of late relapses, and which also seem to have a more indolent course. She was started on sunitinib therapy in January 2010, but she had quite a few side effects, including fatigue and diarrhea. She had blood count suppression, myelosuppression, which was probably worsened by the chemotherapy she received as a child. And she was hospitalized with a GI bleed. On endoscopy, she was found to have an ulcer in her distal esophagus. So at that time, I stopped the sunitinib and we managed this medically. And she was followed with serial CT scans until she again developed progressive disease in the pancreas, and this time new lesions in the lung. I started her on everolimus at that time, which was in September 2011. And one of her multiple comorbid conditions was also diabetes. And so while on the everolimus, she was being managed with oral hypoglycemics. She had poor glucose control, and she was actually hospitalized in an intensive care unit setting with a hyperosmolar state that was a result of her diabetes. Part of the complication of this hospital stay was she went into acute renal failure as well.
And what was that presumably due to?
That was probably because she had one impaired kidney function to begin with and profound dehydration from the hyperosmolar state.
Wow. Yeah, I was really struck by this case in terms of the problems she had with her glucose control. How rare or unusual is this? Is this something you commonly see?
Well, hyperglycemia is a well-documented adverse event from everolimus. The patients who usually seem to get into trouble, in my experience, are the ones that have diabetes to begin with. Their insulin requirement changes, or if they're on an oral hypoglycemic, oftentimes they are switched to insulin over the course of the treatment. So I think underlying diabetes is, you really need to watch those patients closely, get good sugar control, and I usually make sure those patients are being followed by an endocrinologist.
And in this lady, I mean, was she compliant and coming in and being followed, and yet in spite of this had all these problems?
Yes, she's fully compliant.
And can you bring us up to date on what happened to her?
So she was started on insulin with that hospitalization and followed by an endocrinologist, and her diabetes improved. And then she was actually, we put her back on everolimus at a lower dose, 5 milligrams. And she stayed on that with, again, stable disease up through November 2012, when she complained of persistent headaches and sinusitis. It wasn't clear to me that there was a clear link between the everolimus and the headache and the sinusitis, but the patient was convinced there was, and so at that point we stopped the everolimus and again follow her along with serial CT scans until she progressed again.
And what's your current situation?
When she progressed, she was treated with bevacizumab. She tolerated this poorly with development of congestive heart failure and progression on CT scans, and now she's receiving supportive care.
Congestive heart failure, what do you think the mechanism was there?
Well, I think that she had different factors for developing congestive heart failure. The sunitinib could have been a contributing factor. She had other multiple medical problems. And as well, when she was a child, had been treated with extensive chemotherapy, including high-dose cytoxin. So I think that probably those are the factors that contributed to her heart failure.
Dr. Quinn, any comments about this case?
Well, a couple. I think it's, you have patients that are sick, and this lady had a significant history coming in. And the treatment of patients that are cured of childhood malignancy is an area that I think is a focus for ASCO and several other organizations and is often difficult. She clearly had medical problems that made management on the standard drugs difficult, and we just see patients like this and we have to manage as best we can. And sometimes the kidney cancer is part of an overall clinical picture that leads to their demise when you couldn't have actually said it was due to the kidney cancer, but the therapy we give and the kidney cancer contributes.